international group of online hackers known as Anonymous. They are warning a Mexican drug cartel to release one of its members kidnapped from a street protest, or it will publish the identities and addresses of the syndicate's associates, from corrupt police to taxi drivers, as well as they will reveal the syndicate's businesses and things like that. Now, this situation has moved forward in the last couple of days, and even just not that long ago, the AP, they are saying that bloggers and tweeters, as they call them, claiming to belong to Anonymous, they're saying they've abandoned their campaign to expose supporters of Mexico's Zetas drug cartel. Now, the group says one of its members, who had purportedly been kidnapped in the Gulf Coast state of Veracruz, has been freed. The website Anonymous Iberoamerica said in a statement that threats received by the group also played a role in the decision to drop the OP cartel campaign. And all this seemed to start, as far as I know, with a video that appeared online not that long ago. And here's a portion of it when they threatened the Zetas.
For the time being, we will not post photos or the names of the taxi drivers, the journalists or the newspapers, nor the police officers. But if needed, we will publish them, including their addresses, to see if by doing so, the government will arrest them. We cannot defend ourselves with a weapon, but if we can do this with their cars, houses, bars, brothels, and everything else in their possession, it will not be difficult.
Barrett Brown, who sometimes appears in the media as a spokesperson of sorts for Anonymous, he said yesterday, according to PCMag.com, that the Zeta Mexican drug cartel had in fact freed the kidnapped member of its group, but that he would continue to battle the violent gang on his own outside of Anonymous. And he's on the phone now from Texas. Hi, Barrett.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. So is that true? Are you moving forward with this idea?
Well, the situation is always in flux. In this case, there's been a situational change in the last 12 hours. Originally, I misunderstood that the person who was released, the Anon who was originally kidnapped and who was released early yesterday, had been released sort of by coincidence, that it didn't have anything to do with this operation, and thus was not known exactly by the Zetas. Turns out, as has now been reported just in the last hour and is now being discussed elsewhere, the person actually was indeed identified by the Zetas and came back with a note saying that to the extent that any names are published, the Zetas will kill 10 people for each one, starting with this person's family. So this obviously changed the situation. That doesn't mean that things aren't going to go forward with OP cartel against other targets beyond the Zetas, but it does mean that in terms of 25,000 emails and a list of names that have been accumulated over the past few days, it means that that's not going to be going out. But in the meantime, luckily, we've had, as always happens in these kinds of operations, we have people come to us with information on peripheral topics. For instance, I have someone who came to me with a name and a bunch of information regarding a U.S. district attorney who very clearly has ties to not the Zetas, but to the Stone X gang, which is operates in North America and which has ties to other Mexican cartels. That's an example. I think we've already started to get more information in the last couple hours, and as well as volunteers, people who are experts on cartels and these sorts of issues, and I plan on bringing them into a single secure chat room to proceed and see what else we can do, because even at this early point, we've already gotten a lot of enthusiasm from Mexican citizens on the ground and from others. I mean, this is the Mexican people have been stepped upon for years, obviously for decades, but most in the last few years in particular, the cartels and the corruption in the government has sort of combined to ensure that Mexico has stayed down. And you know, in the policy, the de facto policy of Mexican citizens themselves has come to be that in so much as that they cannot rely on their judicial system, which is corrupt and which is run by in part by the cartels, they take law into their own hands. And as such, they have no other recourse but to adapt new tactics as a community. And that's something we hope to encourage, and perhaps we'll be able to provide some new way forward for some of these people.
So hang on a second. You said there was a district attorney that you learned about who was involved with the Mexican drug cartels. Who is that exactly?
Well, we haven't announced the name yet. This is a name I just got days ago, in which I'm still looking into. I've provided the name and the information I've received, plus there's some initial research that I've done, which does seem to verify the situation, or does seem to show that there's something wrong in this office, to CNN now, which is now looking into this. As such, we'll see something probably on that soon enough.
I'm sorry?
No, you go ahead.
When it comes to the actual op cartel operation. So the idea was that, of course, Anonymous, which is a loose collective of various people who have some serious computer skills, and they have acquired these emails and names. And the idea was that you were threatening to reveal various people down in Mexico who were involved with the Zetas. And this information is now circulating in your group. Do you have access to this information where you could damage the Zetas?
Well, the information, the emails have been held by basically two people for the duration since they were hacked, because, of course, it's, in this case, it's obviously very sensitive. There's lives at stake. One of the people who holds them has said that they will provide them to me at some point soon, at which point I'll be going through them with a certain Mexican journalist who will, of course, never be named, plus at least one other person so far, a person who's expert on cartels, and then others who are experts on Mexican corruption in general. Even if we can't release the names of Zeta affiliates or suspected Zeta affiliates from these emails, there's other things in these 25,000 emails that do, you know, present a picture of corruption, which will not be of any particular surprise to Mexican people. But then again, back in earlier this year, or late last year, when WikiLeaks presented information about Tunisia, the corruption there, which was, again, no surprise, the government reacted by blocking WikiLeaks. That helped to spark, in addition to another incident, that helped to spark what became the Tunisian revolts, which in turn became a mass regional revolt. Now, in this case, that was a special case. That was a perfect storm. But in this case, I think we can have some effect. At the very least, we can help turn the tide a little bit. At the very best case scenario, we can perhaps spur something larger in Mexico.
Now, just to understand this, the 25,000 emails, where did they come from precisely?
Well, we can't give information specifically right now about location because we don't know necessarily if the particular division of the government, if they even know they were taken. And even beyond that, even if they do, which is possible, there are a number of other parties involved here that are watching us that we don't want to give that information to either because that would give clues as to the specific contents of the emails, et cetera, the time from which they would have come, et cetera. So, but that information I think is going to come soon since they're sending about three of them at least right now to Der Spiegel, the German paper, which I guess in turn will verify that they exist and then I think proceed from there and release whatever information they can about them.
So are you 100% sure these emails actually exist? Is there a chance that this is all just a bit of a smokescreen, that it's not real?
Yeah, I'm 100% sure on this.
Why?
I worked as a journalist for a number of years, and in the meantime, even more so in the last, 2 years, I've been in, online activism, and we've had a number of incidents in which we've had, or someone with us has had emails which have been held, privately for whatever reason, and which were eventually released, or released in part. And so I've never been burned yet, and I don't expect to be burned on this one. Again, like I said, the Mexicans with whom I'm working on this, in Anonymous, are sending three of them to Der Spiegel right now, and as such, it's obviously not bluffing. They're sending some samples just to prove that they exist, and I think these particular emails may have something moderately interesting in them as well. I'm not sure, but so that will prove they exist. And then again, but we can't obviously satisfy everyone's curiosity or skepticism at this point by releasing all 25,000 emails for a number of obvious reasons.
And just to provide some idea of who you are exactly, why are you in a position to know all this information?
Well, I've been involved with Anonymous and prior to that with my own group, Project PM. In that capacity, I've been heavily involved in certain projects and processes, and people come to me either for advice or with information or with requests for help. And I've got a lot of connections within this culture, within this movement. There's a number of people like myself who serve as sort of what I call transistors, or sort of loads of information. So as such, I'm privileged to be aware of a number of these things. But much of what I've said so far is known by others, and it's been talked about in the press and other Anons. Some of our Anons know it as well. And there's about 12 people involved in this.
And of course, the idea that these names would be released of people who were operating with the Zetas down in Mexico, and the Zetas, it's well known that they are violent people. I mean, they're monsters. They do these horrible things to a great many people. So to provide these names, you could put various people in serious danger. These people have proven they're going to kill people all the time. So how do you react to that, or feel about it, or why are you proceeding with this whole process?
Every Mexican is in danger every day. The Zetas have killed more than 10,000 people in the last couple of years, and will continue to kill people by, you know, just for whatever reason. That's true of every violent force in history. And in most of these cases throughout history, we have nonetheless fought back for that reason. Both my grandfathers were bombers in World War II, and not only killed the enemy, but probably, in some cases, killed civilians or killed people who happened to be at that spot at that particular time. I have more certainty than they could have, based on the time and based on the vetting process and all that. I have more certainty about the ratio. So I don't think I feel any more different than they do, or that any U.S. soldier or anyone else feels about this kind of situation. And that's a question I understand that deserves to be asked, but I would note that it's never asked of someone who does this kind of thing at the behest of the government.
The
civilian who was killed, either it's splashback or collateral damage or retaliation by a sick enemy, it doesn't matter to them whether that killing occurs because of an operation conducted by the government, in which case it's considered all right and normal, or if it's considered by or perpetrated by some informal group like ours. It's all the same to them. In this case, we're being more careful. We're doing this with more purity of cause than the vast majority of military operations that kill far more civilians with far, far less helpful results.
But isn't it rather presumptuous to sort of compare yourself to a soldier, and in that sense, I mean, it's one thing to sort of be online and exist in that world, but then what you do there then eventually could, of course, have various people killed, because, I mean, it's not so much the Zetas that will go after them, but their rivals then will say, okay, that's the person who burned us, and okay, let's go kill him, and they've proven they'll do that all the time. I mean, so to sit there in the comfort of your home and do that, that's heavy, Barrett.
We've already gotten to the point where a number of people, dozens, in fact, have been predicting my imminent murder by the Zetas. So when we get to the point where I'm the chief target of this group, I don't think it's presumptuous at all. I think it, you have to talk to those who are assuming now, who are literally betting on my death. So I'm not forcing anyone into any risks that I'm not thinking myself. And if you look at the response I've gotten, I'm not just cherry-picking it. If you look at my Twitter feed, or if you look at the comments on these articles in Mexican online newspapers, I'm seeing about 100%, literally 100% so far, positive reaction from Mexicans themselves, who, unlike those of us who normally live in the comfort of our own homes in Fortress America, understand this sort of dark calculus of death and retaliation, that they understand that fighting back against a group that kills indiscriminately is something that is a necessity.
Well, sure, Barrett. See, here's the other thing. I mean, I don't fully understand who you are, because even if this information doesn't exist, you are now the face of this experience. Well, not exactly, but of course you're receiving a lot of attention in various news outlets. So clearly the Zetas knew who you are now. And even if this doesn't come to pass, they're probably going to. I don't know what's going to happen to you, Barrett. It's spooky. I mean, you're playing with some real monsters. And even though you're down in Texas, for them to reach out to you is not that complicated.
Well, first of all, they specialize in killing civilians in their own territory where they have control of the judicial system and police. I'm not an unarmed civilian. I'm not in their territory. Second of all, this is kind of par for the course for us. It's not very well known, but although it is known that Anonymous was heavily involved in the North African revolt, it's not particularly widely known the extent to which we already have blood on our hands. We've already put out the information on government informants in Egypt, who many of whom are presumably dead right now. We've played with matches before, and even before my deal with Anonymous, I had the bizarre experience of living in third world countries much worse than Mexico when I was a young man. So again, I understand it's a very abnormal seeming thing to the average person, but just due to circumstances beyond my control, and more recently, circumstances under my control, I've had a little more experience in these matters than I really would like to. But so again, that's maybe why I'm less alarmed, less frenzied about this than a lot of people are.
So do you view yourself as a soldier of some sort, sort of fighting for...
No, I'm a diplomat.
A diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the shadowy world of Anonymous, do people within that group sort of support you and encourage you to do these things?
Yeah, I mean, this operation was unusually controversial, but even as of today, as of last night when I, announced that, anything that moves forward on this will be under my name and not associated with Anonymous or anyone else. Some of those people have changed their minds, are now thanking me and in terms of, in some cases, apologizing. But that was something the objections, that by doing this, and remember, this is not something launched by myself. It was launched by 10 Mexicans mostly living in the territory. But to the extent that we did this on an Anonymous banner originally, obviously there is a reasonable objection that they made. This is potentially endangering other Anons. I think they were very, very, very much exaggerating that danger. But that, again, now that I'm taking it under my own name and proceeding with my own course with information beyond these emails and without any assistance or collaboration with other Anonymous participants. It's no longer their business, frankly. It's now my business.
And when you call yourself a diplomat, who do you represent?
Oh, just me.
Okay. All right. And just so I try to better understand sort of who you are exactly, you were talking about your involvement in scrapes in third world countries. Can you give me some idea of what you're talking about there?
I'm sorry?
When you were involved with sort of scrapes or the various things that were dangerous in third world countries or things that were beyond the norm for your average person. What are you talking about exactly?
Well, aside from having lived in various parts of Mexico, including terrible parts of Guadalajara and Mexico City, DF, I lived in Tanzania for some bizarre reason when I was 17 and was in several situations there where I could have died very ignobly. I don't know if you want specifics, but anyway, and then even in the U.S., I've had guns pointed at me in anger in various situations, actually in San Antonio once.
Why?
I'm just irresponsible.
You're what? Are you drugs or something? Or what? What's going on there?
I can't get into the San Antonio situation, but I mean, in Tanzania, I was in Dar es Salaam in 1998, 17 right after the embassy bombings, and even aside from the al-Qaeda presence there was, the unfortunate, there's very young people who are armed who go about mugging potential tourists. I really wasn't a tourist, but I looked like one, obviously, and there were several occasions in which I was almost killed. Again, that doesn't make me any more qualified to run this. What qualifies me to run this is my past experience with North African operations and other things in which the stakes were very high. But, I'm just saying that, I guess, an explanation of the questions I'm getting regarding why I'm not more concerned about it, that combined with the fact that, again, I'm not an unarmed Mexican peasant, I'm an armed American citizen in America, that explains, again, that plus the fact that the Zetas are not supermen, they have certain capabilities, but they're finite, like everyone else's. And I know a bit about them than a lot of people who have just come to this issue in the last couple of days. So, again, I'm just not that worried. Plus, I'm an opiate addict, which I guess dulls my feelings.
You're an opiate addict? Are you on opium right now?
Oh, no, not opium. Opiates. I'm a former heroin addict. I've been on Suboxone for the past number of months.
Okay, and are you high right now?
Well, I'm not really high. I'm just maintained. I take these opiates, and it's just like taking insulin, basically. I don't feel anything. But anyway, it dulls my senses, so I don't feel real strong emotions either way.
What are you on right now?
It's a Suboxone. It's a prescribed drug. It's something that heroin addicts take after getting off heroin to keep them off heroin and to keep them from having to think about opiates because they're on opiates.
How long did you do heroin for?
I was a heroin addict for, significantly for about a year and a half, and then on and off for previous times to a less severe extent.
Why'd you stop?
Largely because of this anonymous stuff. This isn't the first situation in which, there's been some operations in which, the result has been the FBI looking at me. And as such, my concern was that if I was on an illegal drug arrested or rather just detained, that was going to be used against me during my withdrawal period. That would make it harder for me to deal with that situation. Whereas, if I'm prescribed a drug, they are here in Texas in particular, especially now, are required to give it to me. So at this point, thanks to me being on Suboxone rather than heroin, I won't be going through withdrawals in a situation where I'm being questioned, where I've got intelligence officials as well involved, that kind of thing.
How'd you get mixed up with heroin? Because, was it like a gradual burn where suddenly, okay, let's just start doing heroin? Or, were you smoking like crack and cocaine?
I've done it all, but I first did heroin once when I was 18 and then did it again a couple years later. And then when I moved to New York, about a year, I just happened to live in a neighborhood, a block really, which was happened to be the drug dispensary area of Bushwick. It was there, and I just happened to like drugs, so I got addicted to heroin. And the thing is that I have an unusual reaction to it. Some people, rather than sort of nodding off or becoming depressed in the literal term, become more active. And I was able to work, my writing and that kind of thing, and activism for, 16 hours on end, the problem was that I could justify it, which is the worst thing to be able to do for a drug. If you can justify it, it's impossible to get off.
So I've read once that heroin is referred to as like a full-body orgasm. Is it sort of like this major high that, as you said, it doesn't really affect you in the same way it does other people? But, is it like profoundly, good as far as you're concerned? Which, by the way, hey, kids, don't do heroin. But I'm just saying, is this something that you, really enjoyed?
Yeah, even aside from expecting it slightly differently than others, the full body orgasm metaphor, I think, is generally considered to be kind of off. It's just that's a rough approximation. It's not so much as that. It's a very final sort of. It's basically the ultimate escape from any kind of from. To have, those who recognize it or who have succumbed to the uselessness of all things and of all actions, by virtue of seeing things a certain way, heroin is the cure for that.
Okay, and you won't do heroin in the future, and you're done with that type of heavy drug.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right. Well, back to. Op Cartel. So you have access to information at some point. You don't have it right now. You believe these emails exist, and you're 100% on that. And there's a chance that you may actually reveal these things at some point, thereby, of course, endangering these people down in Mexico and having a serious impact on the Zetas, who are known monsters. And what happens now? When will you decide what you will do?
Well, there's no deadline on that. Again, I'm going to be as careful as possible. I'm going to be talking to a lot of people who both Mexican citizens and people who are close to this issue, who will be advising me on this, and we'll be proceeding just as appropriate, again, now that in this situation, I'm not going to be releasing these particular names from these emails because, the Zetas have made it clear that, that the extent I do so, there will definitely be a certain number of civilians killed, which is well beyond my threshold. So I'll be proceeding in a different way, potentially against a different cartel or against extensions of these cartels, their operations in North America, which is already that's already started by the thing I talked about earlier with the DEA. So we'll just be proceeding, and you know, we'll be picking up targets of opportunity, and we'll be doing that very carefully and with more certainty than has been exhibited historically in the past 10, 15 years by the CIA, State Department, Pentagon, everyone involved in the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, which has not gone well and which has resulted in far more deaths. But nonetheless, participants are still allowed to go to cocktail parties and relax without being asked questions about their conscience.
Okay, but tomorrow, nothing will happen tomorrow.
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay. Well, Barrett, thank you very much for talking to me, and would you keep me posted? You have my email and cell, and you can get a hold of me.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot, Barrett.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That is Barrett. Barrett Brown, he is someone who often serves as a spokesperson of sort for Anonymous, and you can read more about this online because, of course, it is getting a lot of attention. And as I mentioned earlier, the AP, they're saying that the group, one of its members, the group says that one of its members who had been reportedly kidnapped in the Gulf Coast state of Veracruz has been freed, so they are not going to release these names. And we shall see. But just go online, you will find quite a bit about this.